Hello out there, Grantlander people. How are we doing tonight? We are the MCU's Bleeding Edge. We are here Friday, March 3rd, here to discuss the 7th episode of the HBO TV series, The Last of Us, based off of the successful video game series. So this episode is called Left Behind, and basically is a kind of like a reminiscent episode, basically kind of a filler episode. I'm going to call it a filler episode. Some might find hot some information. D. Yeah, they might find Hot D in it too. And they might find it, of course, they might not find it, you know, a filler episode, but in my opinion, I think it's a filler episode. And it's definitely giving you kind of a recollection back to Ellie before she ended up with Joel, basically giving you kind of a forethought into what she was up to prior to her being taken and transported to the Fireflies in Boston to be able to use to try to find a cure. So basically the episode starts off, we see that Joel is still alive. He's not dead, but he is seriously injured by the baseball bat that he got struck with in the last episode, the end of last episode. And basically, Ellie is trying to figure a way to stop the bleeding, to fix him and stuff like that. And basically, Joel is at amends with he's going to die and tells her to go away and basically, you know, take, you know, travel herself to where she needs to get to. So she goes upstairs in this building, wherever they are. And that's when we get a flashback and we go back to her at the military school. We see her running around a track. One of the other girls there takes away her headphones, her Walkman. They get into a fight. Of course, she gets, you know, she beats up the other girl. She gets brought into the, let's say, principal's office or the whatever the warden is, whatever you want to call him, the head teacher or whatever. And basically, you know, he says, you know, if you mind your P's and Q's, you can make it to this. You'll get these amenities if you do it. If not, you know, the things that we've already tried to do by throwing you in the hole and this stuff isn't working. And, you know, do this and that you'll get these things. And she's like, okay. So later that night, she's in bed sleeping and all of a sudden she gets woken up by somebody. She at first is about to kill the person when she finds out that it's her friend Riley. And we end up finding out this is Riley, the friend that has been missing for 3 weeks. And basically, you know, she kind of, she skirts the issue of where she's been, but, you know, basically ends up, you know, kind of briefly saying what she's been up to. She says, well, come with me and I'll show you what's, you know, what I've been up to for the last 3 weeks. And so they basically sneak out and they end up going to this section of the area that they're in. And it happens to be a desolate mall. And in the mall, they're able to still get power because of the group that the military school, the what do they call themselves? The Fedra. Basically rerouted the power somehow, and it ended up giving the mall life again, giving it power. And so basically, Riley has taken Ellie there to kind of like give her a good time and show her a good time and kind of like what she's been up to. So we'll stop there before we get into the mall section. So going around the table, I want to get everyone's thoughts on what was their thoughts going into this episode, especially with the cliffhanger ending of the last episode. Just give your thoughts on what you were looking forward to or what your thoughts were going into this episode, and briefly kind of how do you feel about the intro of this episode? Starting with you, Joey.
Hey. What's going on, Cyber? How you doing?
Fantastic, sir. How are you?
Great, great. First and foremost, I agree with you. I think it is a filler episode. if I'm not mistaken, because it's already been a couple of days, I got a terrible memory. But that's where it starts.
Fuck you.
it starts off with her not leaving. Leaving Joe by the bed, right? He's telling her to leave, and then she has like I guess like this flashback of going into the past with a friend, like you mentioned, And then it gives us, you know, the whole, it gives us her backstory pretty much, leading up until the, all the way at the end as to how she got about to where she is now, being in that, that academy, and then involved with the Fireflies. I thought it was a good little tie-in. Like you said, it was filler. You know, they can't give us too much. Every episode can't be a hit. You know, I think the next episode that comes up, it is going to be better. You know, they always, you gotta bring it down. You got high episodes, they get better and better, and it's really hard to top them when they're high. So this one wasn't bad, you know, but I think that, like you said, it was just filler, and they're just kind of giving us a story. And then when they bring up the next one, you know, we're gonna be seeing some good stuff.
So what were your thoughts going into this episode from the last episode?
Oh shit, Joey didn't watch the last episode. Come on now.
No, of course I did. I watched all the episodes. I love the show. I think it's great. I didn't really know what to expect. I always watch the endings of the shows that tell you what it's going to be about next, you know, at the ending credits of it. So I, you know, because I want to know what we're looking at next. And I wasn't very interested in the backstory too much. I was very interested in where we were at presently in the show. I was involved presently. So going backwards didn't do it for me, you know, but I'm invested in the show. They've done a good job so far. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see where they go with this. And I mean, it wasn't disappointing and it wasn't great, but at least I know how she ended up getting bitten. I know kind of her story of her loss that she suffered too as well, you know, because she's had loss. And I mean, pretty much I'm okay with where they went. I think it's going to lead to better episodes.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Jasmine and Andrew, same question to you folks, and take both of your times.
Sorry, I accidentally pushed no longer full screen instead of the unmute button. basically the whole premise of the episode is just a DLC in which you're in the mall and dealing with the whole romantic, you know, romantic thing. But from what we had in the beginning of just kind of seeing her initially flashing back to her life inside, you know, the compound area, which we didn't really get in the first episode. I guess it was kind of nice to see her interacting with other kids and other people in the community. But for the most part, it didn't do so much for me in regards to have any context towards the game itself. Because it pretty much was prior to the DLC game info.
That you didn't know.
That I didn't know. So the acting was good. That's pretty much all I got.
Okay, and Andrew?
You know, I pretty much almost have the same thing she has going with it. It was nice to see, like, you know, that what you didn't get to see in the game, it just fills that in for you. And then her also being able to, she thought her friend was dead, and then, you know, she's like, oh, here you are. Nice to have you back. Sorry, okay, I was just distracted. I just had a total brain fart.
Okay.
Sorry, that's what happens, man. When you forget to stop at the 5 o'clock free crack special, you know. I mean,
woo, yeah. No, yeah. I don't so have.
What were your thoughts going into the episode?
I wasn't sure. I didn't know. I thought it was going to be more of the main story going, but then they throw this. It's a nice little surprise. You know, take a break. You know, it's kind of almost like the Bill episode. You know, they just gave us a little a little break from the actual action of what's currently going on to step back and see, you know, some other information that, you know, you possibly didn't know about. So I enjoyed that fact, especially if, you know, you've never played the game. This kind of, you know, gives you a little heads up on how it happened and why. So, but yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you. Nay, same question. Basically, your thoughts going into the episode and your thoughts on the beginning of the episode leading up to the mall.
All right. So, in the beginning of the episode, I think it was, for me, it was good to see that Joel was still alive, because I thought for sure the way the last episode ended that he was not going to make it. You know, and he kept on having to push Ellie off of him because she would not leave him. So he kept trying to, like, you know, get her to leave. And so she, you know, like, she clearly cares about him. They care about each other. But he's just trying to get her to go where she has to go. And she feels like she can't do it without him. So I felt the emotional connection there between them two. But coming into the next scene where, you know, we see that Ellie gets to the door and goes to the flashback and she's running around in the gym, you know, it kind of was nostalgic for me to see the Walkman, you know, when she was running through the gym with the Walkman on. And then when that girl confronted her and they had their little altercation and stuff, you know, I kind of figured that Ellie just wasn't in the mood for it. But at that point, you know, I realized that that other girl was fighting a lot of Ellie's battles. So not having Riley with her, you know, she clearly feels like that void, like a missing part for her. But seeing her go into the office and talk to the head guy in charge, it was kind of interesting that he seems to see like a potential in her, like he wants her to walk straight and narrow and just follow the program. And she seems to be really kind of like having a rebellious moment where she's like, I don't care, put me in the hole, you know. And he's just like, he realizes that that's not going to, you know, fix her attitude or give her the adjustment that she needs, you know, to not get into trouble. But, you know, I thought it was a good scene and it was well played, considering how the last episode ended.
Fuck you, Steve from Bumble. Fuck you.
Okay, Steve from Bumble. Did you have anything else to say, Nay?
Nah, I think that's it for now.
All right, thank you. All right, Steve from Bumble over there in the left right-hand corner, my corner. Your thoughts, sir, on what I asked?
Nay, did you think that video portrayed Ellie's attitude towards the situation?
Probably. She just wasn't having it.
No, she wasn't. Well, she's a lesbian, too, so, I mean, I don't think she has a problem with men. But at the same time, though, we never really talked about this before, but she is a lesbian in the game. The actress herself that plays Ellie, she's a very serious actress. I mean, she don't fuck around for being as young as she is. And essentially, Bella Ramsey, of course, from Game of Thrones, where she was fucking wonderful, as Lyanna Mormont. She actually wore a chest binder for 90% of the production for better focus, I guess, on set or whatever and whatnot. I guess I don't really know how to interpret that beyond the point that I guess maybe she, you know, she's blossomed or, you know, at this point in her age and whatnot and wanted to look more or, you know, take less focus to that. I don't know, whatever. But seems like a lot of hardcore dedication. But I think it was important to understand. See, I didn't know that she was a lesbian until now in the game. So I felt like knowing that really was important for me to like really be able to view some of the scenes with her friend. Because that was kind of like her first love, you know, and like that part for me was, I thought was, that was like, to me was what I, one of the things I found very profound about there's a lot of things that I found very profound about the episode, for a filler episode, Cyber. But again, everybody has their own different fillers. We've covered that already. So, It's not a bad thing sometimes. So basically, I thought it was really dope. I didn't know what the hell was going on when that, when the, her friend, you know, Storm, Reed as Riley, you know, Abel, when she came through, I thought that was the chick from earlier, like trying to fucking kill her or something. You know what I'm saying? In her bed, like was going to strangle her or some shit. And they were about to fight. Like, that's what I was expecting to happen. I didn't know that was actually somebody she knew. And then I wasn't sure if it was a dude or a chick. Right. You know, well, it was kind of like a Tuscan type deal where you just don't really know, you know? But you know, I mean, you tell me the other night when I was a Tuscan translator, could you tell whether or not I was female or male? No. Right. I could have been either. And that's fine as far as I'm concerned, but either way, no, I love the whole deal. I think that it only makes sense in this a series like this to have flashbacks. Look at the house. I correlate this very heavily to the House of the Dragon, right? And the fact that they had a lot of flashbacks and whatnot and everything to make up for their massive time jumps that were like fucking massive during the series where they were just jumping 5 years, 10 years at a clip, episode to episode. I never seen a series in my life do anything like that. It was intense. But they filled the gaps in by giving us flashbacks. But they were kind of shorter, not full episode ones. I like this. I have a feeling they're going to end up showing us in season two a Tess, Joel, Tommy flashback episode or something like that where they're going to show us the real fucking murderous, savage shit that they did or whatever and whatnot that Tommy doesn't like talking about and whatnot or that they did. Eventually, they're going to unveil that on us. People are going to want to know what they did and see some of what the fuck they were into and whatnot and everything. I want to see it. I think it would be very helpful to understand Joel more if they did a flashback episode with him and whatnot. So at that point, maybe it's a filler. But for me, I feel like if this season's going to stay strong over four or five seasons and not end up like Game of Thrones and get fucking like, you know, weak sauce and shit at the end and shit and whatnot, and end up like fucking pissing off the fans and not, you know, like rewarding them at the end. If they want to keep this shit strong and have it solid all the way through, they're going to have to like tie some of the stuff together and whatnot and give us some depth with these characters. You can't have a 20-year time jump and not have contrast and be able to at least understand to some perspective, you know, logically what the start was with these characters, what their midpoint was, right? How they evolved throughout those 20 years. Like, you know what I'm saying? At that point, you have to have flashbacks. What the fuck just ever happened? I have no idea what just happened on my screen. There was some interesting shit. I was like a Google slide occurred all of a sudden, but either way. Joey, by the way, it's good to see your brother. And Joey, it is nice to meet, nice for you to chance to meet the rest of the new team. It was your first chance to meet Nay and meet Jasmine and meet Andrew.
So, I met Jasmine one time already. First episode. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I haven't met Andrew though. On the ones, what's going on, Andrew? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
And then Nao is for Naomi, right?
Yeah. Naomi?
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. Yeah, too.
Thank you, Reverend Man.
That's our gangster name. Yep. That's our gangster. That's her thug life name.
Nice. Like it.
Yeah. Anyways, so I dig the flashback episodes. I do. I mean, I guess it all boils down to personal preference and like purview, you know, the eye of the beholder and all that shit. There was really very little action. I mean, but the mall scene you mentioned, Cyber, I thought that was actually visually stunning. And I imagined it. I put myself in the shoes of like a belly.
We haven't gone there yet.
I apologize. I won't go that far then. Even before that, I do try to put myself in the shoes of the, like Ellie. And these characters, what it must be like to actually experience adolescence the way that they're doing it in this post-apocalyptic type play, like universe contained in Boston. When like I grew up out in the fucking woods in upstate New York, like with miles and miles of woods with killing wild animals and shit, cutting down trees. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I just did whatever I wanted basically. Whenever, wherever, whatever. My first experience, my first like love experience was like banging a chick in the cornfield on the dirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it wasn't in some mall. There wasn't no romantic, you know, getting bit by a fucking infected and shit and all that profound shit.
Did you at least use a blanket to put on the floor?
Nah, no blanket, bro. We were drunk as fuck, man. When you're 13, you ain't worried about blankets.
So just on good old fashioned dirt.
Nah, man,
do not do it on the beach. Woo! If you get sand on you and sand on it, it comes out sandpaper. It is not fun. Friction. It'll tear you up.
No, although honestly, having a blanket might have helped me out though, J-Rod, because I could use that as a condom at least. You know what I'm saying? It would have been something.
There was no blanket. It was just wet and sand.
Anyways, but that's it, Cyber. I'm gonna let it go there before I go any farther.
All right. Thank you. All right. So after we get to the mall, that's basically when pretty much the majority of the rest of the episode is them just kind of going through the mall and Riley showing Ellie different things like the escalator. They walk by several stores that, you know, were very big, at their time. Some of those stores still exist. E-Spirit, Foot Locker, of course, Victoria's Secret, all the stuff. And they go by then. At one point, they go by the Victoria's Secret and Riley's laughing. Like, it's funny to see you in lingerie to Ellie. And Ellie kind of looks in the glass after she starts to walk away and kind of, like, imagine herself in it there for a second. And then she ends up like showing her different sections of the mall where eventually basically they end up at an arcade and they're playing games with together and stuff like that and having a good time. And basically throughout the whole thing, they have little mini conversations and stuff like that. Basically to the point where they finally get to a point where Riley tells her that she's going to be going to Boston and that she's going to be leaving. And they kind of have a spat and after they had a little spat, Ellie decides to walk away. She walks away and basically ends up eventually coming back and they basically kind of like make a truce and they start to dance. And then Ellie basically, you know, tells her that she needs to stay. I don't want her to go. And she's like, okay. And they have their first kiss. And I knew that kiss was coming from the get-go, simply for the fact that the whole freaking episode, they were making googly eyes at each other, and I was just like, oh. I'm like, okay, great. And the googly eye thing, you're just kind of like, okay, just get it over with already. Do the kiss, whatever. And so it made it all the way to the very end. They finally do it, and I'm like, oh, okay.
However, at least they did, man. Fuck it. It wasn't like cunt face Kit with freaking what's her Jade and shit and whatnot.
Doesn't matter. Anyways, so basically they kiss, and then after they kiss, that all of a sudden they hear a noise to the side, and then that's when something comes in. We'll stop there before we get to that section. But what was your guys' thoughts on the whole mall sequence, basically, like everything leading up to the kiss? And what were your thoughts on, like, the arcade sequence, the kind of all the dialogue that happened within the mall, and did you enjoy the DLC package of The Last of Us, the game? Because basically, like, you know, like what Jasmine said, this is that DLC that's on the game. That's what this section of this episode is about. So what were your guys' thoughts on that? And just kind of like your thoughts up to that point on this episode. I'll start with you, Jasmine.
All right, so for me, it pretty much was beat for beat the game, other than some small changes like the Mortal Kombat video game and things that you notice that are, you know, Warner Brothers properties that were popping out in the arcade. The whole situation in itself was just kind of very reminiscent of the game. And it was, I was cringing the whole time because I was like, oh God, here it comes, even though it didn't, you know, the horrible part, the flashback doesn't happen till later. And I'm just sitting here like on the edge of my seat going, oh God, I can't. And I'm like, wait, you know, it doesn't hurt me as much as it did in the game. Because I went through the entire game falling in love with this character, and then the DLC came out, and then I got to learn about her past and fall for her friend that she falls in love with, and we love her, and she's, you see the connection and everything. And I just feel like this episode didn't have enough time to really give us feels for said character because we don't really know her. and when you felt when Ellie got bit. And that scream she had when she got bit, and she was like, no, that I felt. Not the black girl giving up already. I was like, really, bitch? Like, really? She said, fuck it. I'm like, what are you going to do, pop a beer? Like, smoke a cigarette? She's like, I might as well do everything I'm not supposed to. Where's my cocaine? You know, like, that's what it was giving me, because she was just like, over it. You know, Ellie's breaking shit and just causing a ruckus, and not me just sitting here like, I can feel Ellie's pain. I can kind of feel Riley's pain, because like, if you go through all this and you achieve so much only for it to slip from your fingers from an from something you didn't perceive coming your way, and it just, there's two, it shows the two different extremes of grief, like how you, some people shut down and just give up, and how others become destructive and self, you know, and just scream, yell, let all that pain out. And that's what it was giving me, and I like that. I did very much enjoy seeing the infected person showing up, and how they just kind of introduced it with a breath, and then you don't see the infected the rest of the episode. So you're just kind of like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? That's what it was giving me.
Awesome. Thank you. Nay, your thoughts, please. Same question.
Well, I think that the carousel scene was really cool. I liked how Riley had tried to instruct her on where to go to surprise her. And Ellie turns around and is like, basically insinuating, like, are you going to kill me or something? And then they had that little joke, like kind of like a ha-ha moment. Like, yeah, if it was to happen, this would be the place or something. So that was kind of cool that they had that kind of like jokey, but kind of serious type of relationship as, you know, as friends or otherwise. But the carousel scene was really cool when she turned the lights on for her, and she saw like kind of it kind of had like an eerie vibe, but at the same time really kind of like a dream, you know. So I saw kind of like the look on Ellie's face, like she was really kind of in shock, and she was really surprised and just taking it all in, you know, just the ambiance of everything, the lighting, and all of that. And you know, I thought it was kind of cool to see them get on the horse, on the horses, on the carousel, and then when the machine just kind of stopped, I'm like, okay, what's going on, you know? So that was a cool scene to watch. The Victoria's Secret scene was really cool too. Like, I thought it was kind of funny how they were still kind of joking, but kind of like, it's kind of like, I already knew that where it was going from there, because they had those looks with each other, you know, kind of like the eyes could tell everything, you know, that they were thinking. So then as it progresses and they get to the arcade area, I thought it was really cute that she broke into the coin machine. And she was talking about how she was out there for like over an hour trying to bust open the coin machines so that they could play the games. So I thought that was really cool too, that she did that for her, you know. It kind of brought it back to like when Ellie was in the room and she was staring at the wall, and they had the Mortal Kombat poster. So I thought it was really cool that they played the game also while they were in the arcade, and they had the place all to themselves with the neon lights and everything. Like, that was a cool scene, you know. But when they got into the little tiff about her having to leave, you could tell kind of like a sadness and a disappointment for Ellie, because I guess, I don't know, maybe she thought that they were, you know, go back or something like that. But then Riley tells her that she was trying to recruit her to join her, and she was kind of denied and told no by the leader or something like that. So then that's kind of like when reality really hit Ellie, and she realized that she might not see Riley ever again. So I could tell that she had a kind of like a moment of disappointment and a little bit of clarity. And then that's when she, you know, decided to leave and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I could just, it, that scene had like a lot of kind of ups and downs in just that little short amount of time that we had seeing them both, like their dynamic and how they got along. So, and the part with the kiss, I, like I said, I saw that coming like earlier, just the expressions in their eyes and their faces towards each other and their demeanor towards each other. But, you know, it was cool to see it happen, to kind of like give you a confirmation, like, yeah, this is what it is. So, but overall, you know, again, I like the scene. I appreciated the scene for what it was, you know, being a flashback and all.
Awesome. Excellent. Joey, same question, sir.
Okay. I kind of had time to think about it while everybody was talking. So, you know, one of the things about that whole episode and those particular scenes, if you like, if you look at like an artistic standpoint, they make like, they make you look at like the little things that you don't appreciate now, you know, like for that time period for them, they don't have electricity like that. So the lights being on was a magical, it was amazing. The escalator was magical. It was amazing. Also, you know, the little things that, we take for granted now, everyday things for them that, you know, they're trying to give us the image of like how amazing those simple things are for them. And, also you, when you look at it, this is kind of like a coming of age for them, right? This is like their version of like a post-apocalyptic high school, skipping, you know, cutting out, you know, her, she's got, I gotta wake up early, I've got to go to the academy, you know. So this is like, they're like a version of high school. They're like, they're like a adolescence, you know. The whole kiss is a lesbian adolescence thing of like growing up, you know, finding out your, you know, exploring your sexuality. When you really think about it, you dig deep into the episode. Let me see what other scenes I'm trying to think about that they made you think about. Dang, there was another one I'm trying to remember. Is it too far to go into when they were, let me see, going into when she got mad about the finding the bombs and finding like the reason why she, you know, wanted, she was bringing her there. She felt like she was bringing her there to recruit her.
Yeah, no, that's all a part of the same question. Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, just a lot of ups and downs for them in the adolescent stage, you know, feeling like lost and wanting to be with somebody, not wanting to be alone. It was good in that sense, that what they were trying to do. I enjoyed it. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't bad. It was definitely, again, we say this throughout the whole show, filler episode, but they did a good job of like trying to make the little things stand out for that episode. That's my opinion on that whole scenes there with that.
Excellent. Thank you. Jeff, you had something you wanted to bounce off, sir.
Well, first off, shout out to Jocelyn Barrett over here in the corner. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and M. I'm assuming that's a me, Joss. So, Joss, when do you ever not talk about anything but sex? Just to be frank, I'm gonna be shocked if one day you actually come in the comment section and say something that's non-sexual. Like, I might have a panic attack. But anyways, I'm just joking, Joss. I love you to death. We all appreciate your support, hun. Hope you're doing all right. But I just wanted to point out that Joey made a great point there, and he articulated better than I did what I was trying to say in the beginning of the episode. Basically, was that I love the fact that they showed us this prism of what it would be like. And they tried to do the best they could in this one episode, an hour or whatever, in this small microcosm, what it would be like to actually experience an adolescence totally different, totally alien to ones that we all have had, right? And experiencing the things we've experienced in our lives in that prism, in that dichotomy. I just find it very interesting. I really do. And it's very it invokes a lot of different deep thinking in my head about like what that would be like myself, like, you know, and how, like, how powerful emotions would be in that type of environment compared to like now, right? How deeply connected you could become very easily to someone. You know what I mean? Like how less people would lie and how raw things would be in a situation like this. But that's it.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Well, leading off of that, go ahead and give us your thoughts on the same question, sir.
And happy sister rebirth day, Jocelyn. I'm actually today is my 60th year of not knowing how many illegitimate children I have across the country. Since I started, I became fertile at 3 years old. So, you know, but anyways, bottom line, look, I mean, I think that, everybody who's already talked about the scene, especially Joey and Nay, and then everybody who's still going to talk about it are going to basically, go ahead, Joey.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I did, I had a thought and I forgot about it, but now I remember it. And it was part of the adolescent scene. And that was when, I believe it was Naomi who brought up the Victoria's Secret scene. That was another part of like the adolescence of growing up, you know, like, they kind of, I almost felt like they made it seem like it was, oh, gross, you know, ooh, adults wear those, you know, but she's like at that age, like wondering like what I would look, you know, in the sexy lingerie. And they did that. And that was another scene that made me think of like a whole coming of age, growing up type scene. And that's how she grew up, you know, through this post-apocalyptic era.
Now, speaking of coming of age, what did you think about the photo booth scene?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, I think all of us, I mean, at least I know I have when I was younger and, yeah, you know, went on dates and, you know, there was always that the photo booth at the mall or at the movie theater.
Yeah. Like that one date you went with that guy, Joey?
What?
Was that one date you went out with that dude?
Nah, it's not me, Jeff.
Okay.
Wrong guy. Unless you were
hey,
that
Jeff,
guy.
Remember when I brought that up earlier about the photo booth at the theaters?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do. No.
Yeah, that was a cool moment.
It is. Those photo booths are cool.
Yeah, those were that's a good scene. And then I think it ties in too also because it was a mall. You know, we did that when we were, well, I mean, at least I know when I was a kid growing up, we went to the mall, you know, went to the mall to go to different stores. So they kind of got to experience, but like in a completely different manner, you know, but.
No, that's where my daughter always hung out with her friends at the mall. I would take her to the mall all the time and whatnot and then pick her up. Like that was the deal when she was like 12, 13, 14 or whatever.
It was cool that they had the whole place to themselves though. You know, it was like they rented out the whole mall to themselves.
I didn't hang out much at the mall when I was younger because you can't fuck at the mall. So, you know what I'm saying?
You could.
That depends on who you're with.
Well.
Because you can find a spot. Kinky girls will let you know. They're spots. You just got to look out for them cameras.
I've had such good natural stamina since back in the day, Jazz. I don't think I'd be able to I don't think I'd be able to make it work at the mall. You feel me?
It's a mall. As long as you're not fucking till closing, you're good.
All right.
Ron's like, God damn it.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Piper. I apologize. No, it does make me think though about I don't know about y'all if anybody had this or not, but when I was growing up, we did have that like $2 movie theater or whatever you could go to where basically you could drink openly or whatever. You could bring your freaking beer in, you could smoke weed or you could do whatever you wanted. They didn't care what you did. And it was dirty as shit and everything and whatnot. I don't know if any of y'all had that growing up. We had that.
Yeah, we had a dollar theater.
$5 theater for me.
Damn.
Well, because it was like $2 back in the day, but by the time it hit the late 2000s, it was getting to five.
It's a recession.
All right.
Okay. Oh, Cyber, I'm sorry, one thing. Now that I can say it. Yeah, this is the shot when they showed the mall, Ellie's face. I thought that, again, the actress, I have such a hard time with her name, Bella Ramsey. I thought that she portrayed and pulled off her eyes, her facial expression, the way that she reacted to the illumination of the mall as the lights came on. It's just a mall. So, I mean, it wasn't like anything blew me away or whatever and whatnot. But again, if you imagine it in her shoes, what it must be like to see that and whatnot, I don't think she'd ever seen a mall before at that point. Right. So, godlike. I mean, that's got to be really interesting to see for the first time in your life when you've always wondered what a mall looks like. So I just thought maybe it wasn't like some Avengers Endgame final battle shit shot. But like at the same time, though, it was a good shot for a good moment with a good actor.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. So I think pretty much it obliterated that section of the episode. Good job, folks. Very good. Very good. So basically that brings us to kind of like the end of the episode. And the end of the episode, basically, after, like I said, they hear a noise, and Riley to Ellie is like, get behind me, and she pulls out her gun, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes an infected. And basically the rest of the episode is them battling the infected. And so we see them, they're fighting and stuff, they're all around in the area that they are, and trying to get this affected off of them. And finally, Ellie's able to stab the affected in the head and kills it. And so after that, Ellie notices she's been bit in the arm, and she's like, no, and she like basically freaks out, like, I can't believe I got bit, you know, kind of deal, and how she reacts and everything. And then Riley shows her hand, and she's been bitten too. And so then they decide to sit there and embrace each other and spend their last moments together until they turn. And so basically we figure out that, of course, this is when Ellie figures out that she's immune, finally, and, you know, basically why people want her and want to see what they can do to try to figure out how she is immune to the cordyceps. And so basically it doesn't show Riley change or turn into an affected or anything. It kind of shows them, and it goes, you know, basically kind of sitting there, you know, upset, crying. And then all of a sudden it goes back to her in the present, and she's frantically starts searching around the house looking for something to help Joel. And she's like doing that, and basically like ripping up the doors and pantries and stuff like that, trying to find something. She pulls out a drawer eventually, and then all of a sudden she sees something that she could use, and she bolts downstairs back to Joel. And so as she's back down there to Joel, of course, it shows her she pulls the blanket off of him, and he kind of looks like he's dead. But she puts her hand around his hand, and then he moves his hand, showing that he's alive still. And so then she goes to work to stitching up the wound with what she found. And she does that. And basically that's how the episode ends. So with that said, what were you guys' thoughts on the ending of the episode? That sequence with the affected, them both being bit, and basically, you know, what were your final thoughts on the whole episode and kind of like your thoughts on where it's going? And I do believe after this, once we finish with the episode, Jeff does have that little wonderful little behind the scenes of this episode we'll get to talk to a little bit about. But going around the table, tell me what your final thoughts on this last section of the episode and your final thoughts on the episode and just all your thoughts on that and how it ended and what are your thoughts going into the next episode. Starting with you, Jasmine.
Well, for me, basically, like I said, they did a really good job with their acting in this episode, even though it was very much a filler episode in regards of filling in the gaps of everything you needed to know and anything that you didn't quite get in the game. So that was very interesting, very intuitive, and it kept me very much engaged. They didn't They gave you a little bit of romance. They gave you a little bit of suspense. I enjoyed it. I think they did a good job in what they had for this flashback. And it was nice because during these little snippets, you got to go back to her and Joel and her scrambling to find some supplies to take care of his wound. And it was really nice. They did a really good job with that. You know, the pacing was pretty good. Overall, they did a really good job for me. I very much just enjoyed the grief moment of them showing the two of them showing their different ways of dealing with the fact that they were infected. I like that. And I also very much enjoyed the Killer Clowns from Outer Space mask that she had when they were dancing on top of the little display cases. I thought that was really cool. Andrew was the one who noticed that. And I was like, hey, isn't that the pizza clown? And it's like, yeah, that's him.
No, Killer Clowns from Outer Space is dope.
That's why I was really happy. I was like, hey, but they did a really good job overall. I mean, it kind of feels like a very short episode because of the way that it's just this DLC compared to the other episodes in the series feel a little bit more action-packed. It's like they throw a little bit of action at you and then they close it out real quick with some, you know, grief or something or some death. But overall, they did a good job. The next episode, I have no clue what's going on because I try to stay out of the trailers and the rumors and all that. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the next episode. Like, I always wait until we're about to do the review and then watch the episode so that it's fresh and I know, you know, I have everything raring to go.
Thank you. Excellent. Joey, same question, sir.
The ending scene, you know, is for them, you know, as much fun as they had, you know, hanging out with each other, you know, getting having a moment to where they were not afraid about anything and just kind of forgetting what's going on around them. You know, it came to an end in that store that was like a Halloween store, you know, coincidentally, you know, something scary happened in there. It actually scary for them when the creature came out and attacked them, you know, and then so that was just a reminder to everybody that it, you know, it's a gloom, they're in a gloom scenario, and this is from somebody who hasn't really played the game. Like, I've seen the gameplay, but I haven't played the game, so everything that I'm seeing is all new. I don't know where this story ends, you know. I really don't, and I've been staying away from knowing like what happens, you know, in the game. If you play the game, then you already know, I'm assuming, how it ends already from, you know, to the last episode. But I've been staying away from that, and I'm seeing it in a perspective as somebody who watches shows and watching a brand new story, and I'm still interested. I think that the way they're caring about the story, in accordance with the game, from what I hear, is pretty on point, you know, for the most part. Obviously, they got to be able to stretch that game out for a show and give us a little bit more details, which they've done, like with the I believe it was a second episode, you know, with the guy who had the partners. I already forget everybody's name in the show, but the ones who, you know, the guys who live together.
Oh, episode 3.
Yeah, episode 3. You know, because of supposedly in the game they didn't go into their backstory, but that was a backstory for them. You know, apparently the partner was already dead by the time they met him, but in the show he was alive in a few episodes. I think, and I don't know what happens to the other girl after she's bit. They didn't really go into that. I mean, we know Ellie survives, right? And I haven't played the game, so I don't know if her friend dies or her friend is still alive after she was bitten. I'm assuming she's dead because everybody gets bit is dead. And again, not seeing the game, I don't know what the next episode holds, and if it's going to tell me that she's dead or when we cut back to him being alive, what's going to happen. But I'm still interested, and I think that it's a fine exit to the episode. I'm hooked. I still want to see what happens on the next one.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. Nay, same question.
So, going back to like that scene where Ellie gets upset at Riley for basically breaking the news to her, you know, she just kind of like bails, like she's like, I'm out of here, you know. And then right before she gets to leave, I guess something kind of told her to go back, and she heard the screaming sound, like the echoing of the screaming or whatever that she thought she heard. And she rushed over there to try and find Riley, because she knew in her head, you know, I gotta go check on her. So then that's when she like gets to the Halloween store, and then realizes that it was the prop that was making the screaming sound. And then Riley is just sitting there chilling, like, you know, like I was wondering, did Riley trigger it on purpose to try and see if she would come back to her or something, or if, you know, whatever. But they get to the scene where they're playing around and jumping around on the glass cases. And I'm thinking in my head, like, damn, the last thing they need to do is one of them get their foot stuck into the glass or breaks the glass and, you know, bleeds out or something like that. But I was relieved to see that even all that dancing on the glass case, you know, nothing crazy like that happened. But then, you know, I was kind of like, I kind of for a second forgot that there was a scene also when the infected was by the wall, kind of like it woke up because they heard this noise from them playing around and stuff. So the whole time I forgot that there was an infected until they got to that point in the Halloween store where it just kind of like the vibe went dark after they were, you know, dancing around on the glass case, and then the infected dude came through and they had to fight him off. I predicted in my mind, like, I wouldn't have been shocked if at least one of them got attacked. But I know that Ellie, you know, at some point gets bitten, and they never went into that in the beginning of the show. So when they were in the and they were tussling around with the infected, and Ellie killed him, it was like it clicked to me. I was like, oh, this is the part where, you know, they show us how Ellie got bit, you know. And then she, you know, like you said, she scratched at her arm and stuff like that, and she was just like panicking, like it, like this couldn't really be happening, you know. But then you cut into Riley exposing that she had been bit too, and everything just kind of goes quiet, you know. Then they get, and then you know, the part where Ellie was really enraged when she was breaking stuff and all of that, you could just tell from her anger, like she, you know, she lost it. But then at some point they both kind of like sit down and they kind of accept their situation for what it is. So then I was also thinking even the next day about that, that line that Riley said about how we're all going to the same place, just some of us get there faster. So that just kind of like, you know, fed more into the seriousness of this situation for them. And, you know, it was a little disappointing for me to not see like the end result for Riley. Like, did she shoot herself? Did something else happen? Or did she just eventually get left there? But, you know, it was cool to see into the last ending of the scene when you cut into what's really happening right now in the house, in the cabin or whatever. And Ellie goes to find the needle and thread to go help Joel. And, you know, like, I thought that Joel might have already died too. But then to see that he was still kind of like alive, but a little bit sort of like letting go. You know, it was good to see the determination that Ellie had to help him. She wasn't gonna stop. She was gonna try and keep helping him until she can't help him anymore. So, you know, I like the whole ending of that scene. I think the episode wrapped up pretty good for what it was, you know, which was basically like a filler episode, gave you information that we didn't know from earlier on. So now that kind of fills in that plot hole, or, you know, the blanks there. So I think that the episode was executed well. So I liked it.
Awesome. Excellent. All right. Jeff, same question, sir.
Shout out to everybody on Twitter Live or Periscope or whatever the fuck they're calling it nowadays and everything for catching the show and whatnot and everything. We actually got a lot of views tonight on Twitter Live. We got 6 right now. Shout out to all you six and whatnot. Why you're not saying hello in the comment section, I don't know, but we're all here, so feel free to participate. Shit, sometimes I forget to even check out Twitter Live. Anyways, no, I mean, hey, I mean, what can I say? You know, if for a filler episode, I'm going to end up probably giving this, like, at least a 7.75. You know what I'm saying, Cyber? Honestly, this was basically almost like a love story crammed into like 1 hour long episode. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what it was, because like, this is the closest and like the only time that like Ellie has ever felt attracted or I think or ever loved anyone like in a romantic way or whatever and whatnot. When she fleetingly only got to just for 1 second look at the lingerie and her in own image in the glass at the, you know, at the store, it was so fleeting for her. It was so brief. And in our world, like, kids can just stare at that shit all day if they want to online and whatnot, or they can look at anything they want or whatever and whatnot. Everything is so fleeting for these kids, for everyone. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you live in an apocalyptic world where, like, once you leave the controlled zone you're in and whatnot and everything, even in that controlled zone, like, you could just die at any given time or become, and once you become infected, you're dead, essentially, right? I mean, you know, so to have to be a child and, like, be that hardened already at that age to where, like, you can handle knowing that you're about to fucking die, essentially, like, your life's over. And like how they actually showed them as adults, mature enough basically almost to be able to sit there and have a dialogue with each other like that. That was some profound shit, man. Like, for reals. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shit, if I could have talked like that and whatnot when I was 14, man, I would have been slamming them compared to what I actually threw up back in the day and whatnot with my weak ass shit. If I could talk like that, I would have had some real game. You know, but I wasn't hard like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, anyways, I'm not going to talk about what I would do if I had 2 days till I became fucking infected or whatever, whatnot. I wouldn't have been crying or whatever. I would have been saying some unprofound shit. You feel me? Like, yo, that might even go there. That's for the after the show, folks. The Skinamax version
of the, you know, Joe, I think you made a really good point through that rant that you were just going through. Yeah, I think you made a really good point. I did.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Without even knowing it, I think you actually made a good point. Because during, like, initially when I had brought up about the, you know, growing up and the adolescence part, they're forced to grow up. They're forced to make adult decisions, going back from like the academy being like a school, but, you know, being a leadership type of school. And then her joining that rebellious, making bombs, having a gun ready, life or death experience. That's just kind of going off of what you said, you know, they kind of have to grow up at a young age. So the time that they're in the mall, they get to be kids. Just kind of what I thought of after what you said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Jeff.
No, that's a good point. Maybe that was like, you know, we don't know really. That, I mean, for all we know, basically, if we understand correctly, Ellie has lived in that Fedra controlled like training camp shit or whatever, whatnot, her whole life that she knows really or can remember. So at that point, that was like, you know, could have been the first day she ever felt like a kid. Maybe it's the last time she's felt like it since. Right. So, but at that point, I think that this episode does a lot to like make people kind of understand why Joel means so much to Ellie already. Right. In a world like this, you become very close to people very quickly. It doesn't take long. Right. You know, and I can only imagine, but yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Jazz is going to dip. So, Jazz, did you want to go ahead and drop your rating?
My rating is 9.5 because even though it was a good episode and they did, you know, hit all the beats, it's still lacked a little bit more suspense for me, for or more information and more feelings towards Riley, because like I still don't know who she is as a person, and I didn't really fall for her, so my connection towards her was very lacking compared to how I felt about her during the DLC, which was, like I said, games are much longer.
Most definitely. And before you take off, Jazz, this is gonna dip. Check this out, folks. That is, if I can take this out, bam. Going to be, hopefully, how long is it going to be before you have it up on the YouTube channel, Jazz?
It's editing right now. I finally got it to the point where it will actually post. So now I'm just waiting for it to, it should be up tonight. If not, tomorrow morning.
Hey, you guys look really good in that damn thumbnail. I'm telling you right now. There you go, folks. Magic in process here. We got some serious shit going down here with Nay and Jazz busting out some dope ass content on their own and whatnot, getting after it. So good things here having the bleeding edge. We're all, you know, we're all doing our own shit and whatnot, right? You know, even Nancy Pelosi with her ice cream. Right? But no, Jazz. Hon, it was good to see you, hon. I don't know what happened. Tell Andrew I said hello. I hope he's all right.
Cats are making a mess. That's kind of like why we have to get going.
No, you're good. You're good. You're fine.
All right. See you later, see you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Or blah. Oh,
no, just my final thing. My final thought probably would be Cyber, just that again. I don't want to like overdo it because look, a lot of these, even without flashbacks, we have these moments in these episodes where you can't not like put yourself in these people's shoes and sort of not kind of think about what it would be like to insert yourself in a way or something or into this kind of dynamic or this world. It is interesting. I'm not trying to make this a big comparison here, but as far as Walking Dead goes, it seems to be very open on online that people want to make that comparison. So I'll just go with it at that point. I feel like this series is so different than The Walking Dead. The pace of it, the energy of it, the vibe of it is so different. The relationships are different. The dynamics are different. Hats off to HBO Studios, right? For doing something that could have ended up just looking like another zombie show, but they made it work, right? In its own way. So, you know, and I think that, if this is a filler episode, hey man, this is compared to Willow, this is like the GOAT.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So going around the table, give your rankings. So I'll start. I give it a 5.
Oh,
Joey.
I think a 5 is pretty appropriate, to be quite honest with you. I was actually going to go with 6 because I didn't think it was bad. Can I go 5.5? 5.5. I'm gonna give it 5.5 because, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I think it was a lot of backstory to try to give in one episode, but they try to feed us a lot of like of the emotion side of it, and then growing up and kind of give us everything that we talked about into that one episode. And I don't necessarily know that it was enough to make one episode. Maybe it might have been just stretched out or just not enough story into it, but it wasn't bad. Like, I got the idea. I get what they were trying to do. And so because I understand what they were trying to do, I think that's what makes it not terrible. So I'm going to say 5.5 because I wasn't feeling like the other ones, but it wasn't terrible.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I wish She-Hulk would have gave me the option of 5.5. You know what I'm saying? You would have been feeling some shit. You would have been feeling that shit that night.
She-Hulk was terrible.
Yeah, there were no options with She-Hulk.
I'm sorry, true you that. Have to review it.
True that. Nay, your rating, please.
I want to say a 6, because even in the end, it kind of like her not wanting to leave Joel. It kind of tied with her and Riley, like her, you know, saying, you know, screw this, I'm out of here. And then deciding, you know, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to go back. You know what I mean? Like, she felt like she couldn't leave Joel. She couldn't abandon him without knowing that she tried her best and to kind of like stick around till his last, you know, if it's going to be his last breath, stick around for his last breath and not let him die by himself. You know, so I felt that that scene was played out really well, and just the transition from what's going from the beginning, what's going on now. They're in the house, they're in the cabin. She's like, "Oh damn, what am I gonna do?" And then, you know, going into the whole like how she, you know, how she linked up with Riley, the whole everything that went on, and then how it transitioned back into the current time. I thought that the transitioning in the episode worked out well for what it was. So I'd say maybe like a six. I'd give it a six for that.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. And Jeff already gave his. So.
No.
Wait, what did he? No, he said like a nine or some crazy ass number, right?
No. I'm going to give it an eight.
God, okay. All right.
Give it an eight. I just personally liked it. I'm biased. I liked it.
Like, yeah. What did it for you? What, like, what scene that was like?
It that was like scene a right Romeo there? And Juliet kind of fucking deal, like played out in one episode with these two girls.
But it wasn't like Romeo and Juliet.
I found like a poetic like side to it in me, like when I watched. I did.
What about it was Romeo and Juliet?
Think about it. Just think about it for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about loose connections here, but like it's there that there's themes there that are similar in a way. Towards the fact that, well, think about it. They don't like, they're basically at the end, they like the options that Riley gives are like, we can kill ourselves, right? Or we can fucking become infected yet just so we can have time, spend time together.
Just like Romeo and Juliet.
Well, I mean, Romeo and Juliet didn't have the clickers and they both eat ice cream and shit and all that, but. You know, although that would have been a good addition, I think.
I think you need to reread Romeo and Juliet, sir. Unfortunately, that just does not correlate at all, sir. But okay,
just agree with him.
If you say so, sir.
This is the new lighter, fluffier, more family orientated version of Jeff S. True Knowledge, baby.
Hey, Jeff, were you trying to say that it was almost sort of like poetic in a way?
Yes, it was poetic. Yeah, I said that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you say that, though?
Yeah, I said, yeah, I found it poetic. I found the aspects of the show to be poetic to me. I did. And I felt like, once again, they're doing a great job across the span of the series of connecting and contrasting certain dynamics and relationships with certain characters to other relationships with other characters later on in other episodes, right? And putting them in similar situations and whatnot and everything, and then contrasting them, right? And connecting them and whatnot, and showing growth and what growth is like, what it's like to evolve in this type of fucking dynamic. It's very, very well thought out. The storytelling, it's pretty deep. It's decent.
I think so.
It's better than what Jar Jar Binks would have come up with.
Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars?
You know, Jar Jar, baby. You know, my brother.
I think he would have came up with something fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, look at the fucking guy.
Jar Jar rocks.
But just imagine if Chloe Zhao could have got a taste of this bitch. Shit.
Who was that?
Well,
the director.
That's my hero.
She's the director of Eternals.
Oh, okay.
And she also directed that Nomadland movie that took Best Picture a couple years ago.
Okay.
Yep. She's something else, man.
All right, so that's the end of the episode. So if, Jeff, you said that there was a behind-the-scenes, sir,
yes, sir.
Of this episode. Would you like to take it from there and talk a little bit about that, sir?
Yes, sir, most definitely. There you go.
Cyber's like, I should have known.
Oh my god.
It's Jeff. What do you expect?
My name's Jeff. I'm a computer programmer from Redondo Beach, and I refuse to lose.
My name's Rita. I'm from Idaho. but trust me, I ain't no couch potato. I'm Anne. I'm from Boston. I promised my mom I wasn't going to embarrass her here tonight.
Oh! I'm Tyrone Biddle. I heard that I can win a lot of money and I get a pig testicle dinner with all the fixings. You gotta play to win.
Here is your first stunt.
We gotta eat that. I can't eat all of it.
You each have to lie in this coffin covered with worms and bugs. The three of you that can last the longest will move on to the next round. Rita, you're up first. Climb on in. All right, we're going to have to add a few more to the mix.
Oh, God. Oh, Joe Rogan, you're crazy.
God. One of them tried to crawl in my mouth.
1 minute and 42 seconds.
Let me just help you out. Get some on this. There you go. Look at them spreading. They spreading.
5 minutes and 42 seconds. Anne, it's all up to you. Lie down.
Oh, God, that was gross.
Wow. All right, Ty.
I'm going to tell you something about me, Joe Rogan, that you might not know. I smoke rocks.
You did it, Tyrone. You shattered Jeff's time. You come on out now.
Joe Rogan, if it's all the same to you, I'd like to finish reading my newspaper. I haven't had a chance to sit still and read for so long.
There you go, folks. I'm just kidding, Cyber. I've got the actual behind the scenes shit and everything and whatnot. I just thought that was really funny. I'm sorry, sir. I'm such a degenerate.
I have nothing to say.
But that was dope, though, that Tyrone was just reading the paper and shit and whatnot and didn't want to leave with the worms on himself and shit. I love it. Good old Tyrone, baby.
At the end of episode 6, Joel appears to be dying. When we return to find him with Ellie, he is in terrible shape. And in fact, is telling her to leave him because he's not going to make it. Ellie has to make that decision. In the moment she hesitates, we are brought back in time to an Ellie we have not met.
We get to see what is it like to be a kid in this world. Before you get thrust on this crazy journey or find out you're immune to the cordyceps, it's just a kid in a military school that feels like she doesn't belong. She has no connection with anybody else except for this one girl that left her and she thought was dead because she was gone for so long.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just ran away for a bit. That's all.
If you're going through some shit, you're supposed to, I don't know, talk to your best friend about it.
Riley is Ellie's only friend, really, in the QZ zone. She also has quite a big crush on her. Their bond and their relationship is very real and pure and fun. They have a really interesting dynamic, and I loved working with Storm to create that.
Riley is played by Storm Reed. We had to find somebody that was able to not only be on Bella's level in terms of talent, but also somebody that we think would have the upper hand on Ellie, and that's a tall order.
Turn right, open the door, tell me when you're there. Go.
Fine. This is Riley's one last chance to show her love and appreciation before she goes away.
Are you there?
I'm here. Now what?
The metaphor for this episode is what it's like to skip school in the post-apocalypse. And you get to see them play an arcade game. Imagine like an arcade game that Ellie has a poster of in her room. She probably read about in some old video game magazine they found. They've probably like seen the moves and here they get to do it. Riley gifts that to her.
Go again?
Goddamn right. It was so much fun to film. It was crazy, very full on. And those days were long and emotional and taxing, but honestly, they're so rewarding and so satisfying.
It's really cool to just walk around and admire the work that people do. The authenticity of what the world looks like or what the mall looks like, they did an amazing job.
The mall was, I think, one of the most amazing sets. We had to get a carousel.
That is a well-spoken young woman.
Store. We had to do a Victoria's Secret store.
What?
Nothing. I was just trying to imagine you wearing that.
Shut up. Riley is kind of testing out the waters and seeing how Ellie feels, and she has a little crush on her, so it's kind of like a date, but not really.
In that world, to have a crush on someone, it's still like a feeling that you can't just turn it off because the apocalypse is going on and you don't think you have a future together. Like, it's something that's still very much there.
In this world, it's often the case that the happiest moments are interrupted by the worst moments. And there's this wonderful moment where Ellie realizes that Riley feels the same way about her that she feels about Riley, and they kiss.
Ellie gets... I'm going to stop it there, Cyber, because I'm afraid to play it any longer than that because of copyright. That might have been too long enough right there. I don't think you can even... I don't think you can get away with the whole 5.5 minutes. I don't think so, so...
I know.
Again,
sometimes if you talk over a video, I think that you can get away with it in certain aspects, though.
There's certain things you can do. You're right. It just depends. You got to try it and see what happens and whatnot and everything, right? But at the end of the day, you know, YouTube is nice enough to give you that ability to just trim that shit out if they don't want it. So, you know, at that point, it's just not there anymore. Anyway, Cyber. Did you have any questions off that?
Nope.
Okay.
I thought you were going to be talking about it.
Okay. Well, I have a question for everybody, Joey, before you take off, brother. What did you think? I mean, what is that, like, that little bit and whatnot and everything? I don't know if you watched that when you watched the episode. I always do. I think I really like it. I think that it kind of illuminates, sometimes it illuminates more to the episode, and maybe you pick up a thing or two from them that you didn't notice, or a certain like motif or whatever, or a certain theme that you don't realize that they were trying to push. I thought what they said was basically in line with everything that we already said about the episode.
Yeah, I think I was kind of spot on exactly what I had mentioned. I didn't actually see that one. Because I don't know what the flashback for the next episode was when I saw this one, but I'm actually kind of impressed with myself because I think I caught like what it was in that episode they wanted. Now, I mean, was it word for word on as far as what they were doing? But yeah, like they said, like the skipping school. Like I didn't think about the skipping school part. I just thought about like the, you know, being in school and then going out. But yeah, I mean, I think we discussed it all together. And we all had a input as far as what they said. I think we got it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And do you, I like the, I feel like I get something out of it. I find it rewarding to hear like the couple minutes of them talking, Druckmann and Mazin and whatnot and everything. When they do talk about what they're fleshing out, I like to hear the actors and the actresses talk a little bit about the scenes and stuff and all that. Do you feel like it does anything for you or gives you maybe a different look at the episode or?
Yeah, no, for sure. Because, if you didn't understand the episode, you can watch those and you can understand the episode. If any of us were to have watched this one and just besides, you know, everybody agreeing that it was just filler, and missing the whole point of the show, this tells you like, well, this is what they were doing. They were trying to give us, the idea of what it is like to be a child or, you know, a teenager in a post-apocalyptic and give us a scenario of what a teenager would do now, but doing it in this time, you know, and it explains it to us. It just, it tells us what we need to know if you missed it affirms it.
Do we have any kind of accurate idea how old they even are? I'm not even sure how old Ellie's supposed to be. Is she 15 or 16 or something like that, essentially?
Ellie's supposed to be 14, and Riley was turning 17.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Cyber. I appreciate that. So the same questions to you, Nay. Same thing. You know, do you feel like you get anything out of that? Does it not really do anything for you, or?
I gotta go check on my daughter. I'll be right back.
Okay, go ahead. I'll go to Cyber. Cyber, same questions that I asked Joey. Basically, do you feel like, you know, does it do anything for you at all? I'm not talking about in terms of your rating or whatever and whatnot, or your overall like vibe, like at the end of the episode or anything like that, and whatnot. But do you ever at least like get anything out of hearing them talk, or even maybe the actors talk or the actresses talk a little bit about playing the roles? Does it kind of at least like maybe make you feel connected more to the episode or the show, maybe overall?
Well, I like extras. I like the like mini making ofs and stuff like that, for things that I really enjoy or really are into. If I'm not into the episode, or if I'm not into the storyline, it's not going to interest me. With this episode, because I didn't care for the episode, I didn't find or have the need or want to see the little behind the scenes for this one. So I honestly think it was, you know, it. I get the point of it. I just don't always want it or need it. But if it's something, like I said, if I really enjoy it and really love it, I'll definitely watch it. For instance, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, I'll definitely be watching all the makings of for that. I'll be watching Cocaine Bear's making of and stuff like that. These are movies that like are really enjoyable to me, that I found really interesting, that had great value. So that stuff I'll want to watch. But with this episode, I had no desire to.
Dude, if you want to review Cocaine Bear, I think I'm going to go watch it tomorrow.
Someone told me this was based off of a true story.
It is, but yeah.
As crazy as it sounds.
It's inspired by a true story that happened back in 85. What happened was a whole bunch of cocaine got shoved out of a plane. It fell into a forest. The black bear found a duffel bag and ate the cocaine. But in the real story, he ate the cocaine and then died. The actual bear itself is stuffed in a museum where the drugs were found. To this day, so you can actually go see the stuffed bear. But in the movie, it's basically a black comedy satirical version of what happened.
Got you. I was like, no way.
Why can't they drop that shit to Tyrone Biggins, man? Come on now. You know what I'm saying?
You can't be playing that, Jeff.
You know?
You can't be playing those episodes. That's why you're going to get the MCU block, man. That's with the copyrights.
No. Again, you got to test the waters. But J-Rent, honestly, man, if you want to do something different on the Podcast Odyssey, if you need some content, bro, let me and Cyber know. We'll review Cocaine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, yeah, I was going to message you guys later on and try to drag Ron back into seeing maybe you want to do something on a Monday. You know, I talked to you, Jeff Rady, yesterday when we did a show about doing something on Monday. So I'll pick y'all's brains and see what y'all think y'all want to do.
Hey man, I'll tell you right now. When we came on before and whatnot and everything and whatnot, I wasn't feeling so hot, bro. So, and I still enjoyed the shit out of being on there. So now that I'm actually feeling better, I can't even imagine how much fucking fun I'd have fucking hanging out with y'all.
Ron looks like he's ready.
I know he is. Cyber, I do want to mention this to you also, that I think that the difference between me and you might be also to some extent that I've never bought a DVD before in my life that actually has extended features. I always just buy the cheap ones, like the, you know, just have the movie. So like I've never even watched them before. I'm not even sure what they look like. I've never seen it. Like this is extended features. I don't know what like the other stuff looks like. And like with the Marvel MCU movies or whatever, I've never seen added footage or like any of that kind of stuff or anything. I've never seen it. So maybe I should start checking them out and like actually buying the, you know, paying the extra $20, right?
Ten,
okay, for the Blu-ray with all the shit.
Yeah, because literally, like, if you were to buy any Marvel film on DVD, it's usually $20, and then for $5 more, you can get the Blu-ray, which has all the extras.
Well, I mostly buy the Marvel movies for my kids. I only actually own so many for myself, to tell you the truth. So I've got time to still buy those ones. You know, but Nay, last question to you, and then we're gonna get the hell out of here. What I was asking you basically was just, you know, essentially bouncing off Joey, bouncing off Cyber. Cyber had basically said that, like, you know, for him, if he's really into something, like into a film or whatever, whatnot, he's all about like special features and this type of like stuff where he gets to hear from the actors and actresses or the directors and whatnot and all that. He likes that stuff, which makes sense to me. Do you feel like maybe you like, were you on this, are you on the same page with Cyber maybe on that? Because as I was saying before you came in too, I don't have much knowledge or much experience with actually seeing a lot of like extra footage or like extra bonus material on DVDs. I always buy the cheapies. So, you know what I'm saying? At that point, I don't really see that much stuff. This stuff I see in HBO to me is like that kind of stuff. So, do you feel like at all, I mean, does it impact you at all? Like on like how you feel about an episode, for instance,
when you see it gives me a deeper understanding for exactly what the directors and the producers are going for and what the actors were going for. I like watching like featurette clips. You know, it just goes more in depth into explaining what the story doesn't say out loud or what the writing doesn't say out loud. You know, so I appreciate the featurettes. I appreciate watching like, you know, how it's made, the director's cuts and all of that stuff. So, you know, I'm definitely agreeing with Cyber on his point.
Okay. Well, agree with Cyber is typically a good idea. So, you know, I've got to give you props on that. Joey, my friend, what did you want me to pull up for your plugs? Did you want me to pull up your podcast, or did you want me to actually pull up your Facebook?
You don't have to pull up anything. You're fine.
What do you mean? Yeah. I don't mind.
I mean, I guess you could just pull up the page.
Okay. Well, hold on one second. I'll pull it up for you, brother.
Sure.
If you want to go ahead and talk about Podcast Odyssey and help talk about the plans and whatnot and everything, I'll pull
Podcast
it up.
Podcast Odyssey.
Ooh. There you go.
Ooh. How's it going, everybody that's going to be watching later or listening later? My name is Jay Rent. 2000, and I'm a host of a podcast, Odyssey. On our show, we talk about current events right now. We've done movies. We've done shows, various things. Yesterday, we actually had a show with just me and Jeff where we talked about superheroes for about 10 minutes, and the other hour and a half was of complete, utter nonsense, but we had a good time. We had a good chat about random topics, and I thought it was great. Even with technical issues that I've had with new equipment, interactive, you know, I always welcome people to come into the chat section and put in your 2 cents, talk with us. You know, we'll mention you in the comments, we'll talk to you during the live show, and we just have a good time. We have fun, you know, get a drink, sit down, you're bored, hang out with us, or if you want to hear it later on, we're on Apple and Spotify. And other podcasts apps that you can find us on. So, you know, we post memes. Of course, you know, you're gonna see the list of all the different stuff that's on there. Look, there's the post for me and Jeff, and there's a She-Hulk because he likes She-Hulk and he's holding on to Jeff.
There you go, baby.
With all the superheroes.
The classic shot.
Yep. You know, so that's pretty much it there. You know, we're all about humor, things that are gonna make you laugh, and some things that are gonna make you think. You know, and then that's pretty much about it. You know, just come join us.
Oh man, Interstellar, baby. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, great movie.
I told you I wanted to review that shit.
We did review it.
We reviewed Interstellar?
Yeah, we did. We sure did.
We did.
Yes, sir, we did.
Okay, we did. You're right. We did. You're right. I remember now. You're right.
Yeah, it was great.
Excellent. What did you think of Ant-Man 3?
I haven't seen it. I barely saw Wakanda Forever yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you see the bootleg version where it's actually good?
I saw Wakanda Forever, and it's actually better than I thought it was. I held out from seeing it in the theaters because I didn't really think I was going to like it. I wasn't impressed, but actually seeing it on Disney Plus, it was better than I thought. I actually would give it out of 10. I'd probably give it a 7.
Okay. And
I was better than I thought. It was a lot better than I thought.
Did you like the Predator and the Power Rangers in it?
The Predator and Power Rangers. Jeff made the comment to me, but now I understand. So the Predator is the angel, the Dark Angel suit, right? For the Wakanda soldier. And then the Power Ranger suit is what, the Iron Man chick?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I mean, I thought they looked pretty cool. I do like the story of Noah Moore, no love.
No, wait a minute. Isn't his name in the movie Watutu?
Cthulhu? No, I don't know what it is, Kakamuku. I don't remember what it was, but I do like his story, his background. They gave us just enough on there to explain everything about him. And I like the how they did the death, you know, of T'Challa. Is that how you say it? T'Challa?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like how they did that at the beginning of the movie. Like, let's just let you know right away, he's dead, you know. And then they went forward from there.
See, if they would have just had Ironheart die in the movie right off the bat, that would have been, for me, that would have made the movie for me.
It was okay. It wasn't bad. It was good.
Well, either way, Joey, thank you very much for coming on, brother. We're happy to come on the podcast, Odyssey. You should definitely connect with Nay. She's a good guy. Right. Hey, man, listen, we got two more episodes of this bitch to do. So I'll send you links for both of them, man. It's on you whether you want to show up or not.
I showed up today, right?
Yep, that's right. There you go. We appreciate it.
If I like the next episode, for sure, I want to talk about it. If I don't like it, I probably won't. Nah.
I can't blame you on that one, brother. I can't blame you.
I'd like the show. I don't really talk about it. So definitely, you know, there's things that I like to explain, but this wasn't the best one to talk about. Like the last episodes when they came out, there was just so much to say. Like, I could have said a bunch of stuff about the episode with the gay guys. That was a good one to talk about.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry I didn't reach out to you at that point, at that time, whatnot, everything up that, and ask you to come on.
It's all good.
Well, listen, I promise, bro. I'll save you a good spot for Willow season two.
Save me a seat.
I got you on that one, brother. All right, I promise.
Cyber, right? Good seeing you, man. We're gonna link up here. Naomi, it was nice meeting you. I told Jeff to bring you along next time we do something, so we'll all keep in touch and see what we can do. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice to meet you too. Have a good night.
We need to get some more damn content on this YouTube channel right here.
I know. I'm just trying to get too, past Joey. The copyright.
Yeah, Ron. I'll hit you up later.
Well, certainly, sir.
All right, Joey.
Later, Jeff.
Later, bruh. All right. What do we got going on here, Nay?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing? Okay. There you go.
Nothing different.
No, nothing different. But, hey.
I got another episode I'm trying to put up, but the copyright doesn't want to let me be great.
Well, hey, as you already, if you haven't noticed already, I'm not exactly the pro when it comes to copyright. So, yeah. I'm not the one to talk to about that. Yeah. But no, I promise, folks, we're going to be getting some more content up on Nay's YouTube channel. And we appreciate her very much helping us out with The Last of Us and whatnot and being on The Mandalorian too, which we'll be doing The Mandalorian Episode 2 with Cyber Moderating next Wednesday, 9:35 p.m. Eastern, 6:35 p.m. Pacific. This Sunday, we're wrapping up at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, the Echo Disney Plus series, The Daredevil Born Again, and then just rocking out. Sunday to Sunday, Secret Invasion, What If Season 2, Ironheart, my favorite, probably Agatha Harkness, House of Harkness, all that. We're going to blast it out, get it done. We got two more episodes of Last of Us next Friday and the Friday after. So, Cyber Night Shark, my friend, I'm setting you up for your plugs, baby.
Oh, yes, sir. All right, folks, so if you enjoy me here on the MCU's Bleeding Edge, of course, you should check out my solo content here. Yes, you can find me under Cybernetic Shark underneath YouTube. You can find me on Rizzle, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff, people. And, so definitely check that stuff out, people. As you can see, I'm up to 581
for
subscribers, so we're slowly getting to 600. And just saw Cocaine Bear today and Creed 3. So those reviews will be up soon. Keep your eyes out for my Fast 10 trailer reaction. That'll be up shortly too as well. My most recent upload was the Flash trailer reaction finally, which came out a couple weeks ago, which I can't wait to see that movie in June. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to review it. It's going to be so freaking good.
Most definitely. It is going to be really fucking good. And that Fast trailer is really good too. That shit was dope. Did you see it, Nay?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I'm not even a huge fan of that franchise, but that trailer was fucking awesome. I mean, seriously.
I saw they got Jason Momoa on it right now.
Yeah, he's the villain.
Yeah.
Good call. Good call. He looks pretty damn good to me. But other than that, folks, as I mentioned in the private chat to everybody and whatnot and everything, after some hardcore deliberation with Cybernetic Shark, he's advised me that to add a fourth show to the schedule of the week is probably a good idea for me to do it probably on Tuesdays. No, Mondays, I think. What did I say earlier in the private chat? I can't even remember.
You said Monday in the private chat.
Mondays. Mondays, folks. Mondays, I guess probably starting this Monday coming up. I'm not even sure what we're going to cover, but it'll be solo for me. I'll get Cyron as much as I can. I'll get Neon as much as I can, but it'll be another show on the Bleeding Edge, on another show, on our quest to at least 6 or 7 days out of the week. We're getting there, baby. Like a machine. Now we got Ney on board. Who knows what's possible? We got Ney and we got ChatGTP, baby. We're ready to rock and roll. But no, folks, we got good shit going down. We're going to try to schedule, me and Cyber, we're going to try to figure out and schedule our rankings for last year for the MCU. We got to get out of the way. Try to bring back some of the old guard from the Podcast of Champions for whatnot and everything. Try to get Jeff B in there, Gunner, as many old faces as I can. I'll talk to Cyber about it. We'll try to plan it. Besides that, thanks for coming on and checking us out, everybody. Cyber, you want to close this out, brother? It was your show. You did a great job moderating, as always.
As always, people, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Peace. Peace. We out.